everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you. Your quarterback negotiating a very content-rich hour coming up. That's a new one, isn't it, Tom Fairbanks?
Yes, there's been a lot of quarterback discussions in the wake of the Super Bowl, so I guess
I thought I'd throw that.
It's topical.
Throw that out there. It's Buckmaster Midweek Edition. It is February the 10th, 2021. We're in our 11th year here on the radio in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Our radio station is 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, where we piggyback the live stream feed from KVOI.com. The Buckmaster Show Live Line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Have a lot of news for you coming up here, and we'll start go on the live line to Vice Mayor of the City of Tucson, Paul Cunningham, Democrat, who represents the second ward in the city of Tucson. Paul, how are you?
Bill, thanks for having me on, and I appreciate the comment about Vice Mayor, but actually, last night, I passed the torch to Nikki Lee, who's in her second year on the council.
Okay.
And I remember that when I first started on the council, it took a long time before I finally got voted as Vice Mayor. I think I had been on the council for 5 years. I've actually served as Vice Mayor at least 1 month of the last five calendar years, if you can.
Wow.
So I thought it was time for me to, you know, we usually do it on a rotation, and it's not an ego thing, but in the first year, the mayor asked me to step into that role and help kind of get everyone's feet wet in a new council, and I gladly did that. But I felt the timing was right to go back to, you know, the more traditional way. And so last night, I happily and proudly pass the torch to Nikki Lee, who will be in her first term as Vice Mayor.
Well, our congratulations to Nikki, and I know she listens to the program, and we'll have her on hopefully very soon in her new role as Vice Mayor. But now, Paul Cunningham, very good news about fast-tracking vaccinations in Pima County. The state is going to open up a 24/7 facility here. That is really going to speed things up.
Well, it really depends on the net increase of total vaccinations or jabs. I like to call them jabs. That's what the British term has been per day. And right now, we've been doing, you know, close to 7,000 or 8,000 jabs a day in the county. I don't think this 6,000 is going to add to that. I don't think it's going to be 7 plus 6. I don't think we're going to be doing 13,000 jabs. But I'm optimistic that it's going to take 10,000 jabs. The thing was that we expected a state POD to be stood up on February 1st, and now it's February 10th. So it is good news, and I'm happy the state is taking action, but it shouldn't have come sooner. It was also disheartening last night to hear that our POD, the Tucson Convention Center, had their allotment cut for this next week. So it's all right if something can absorb, as long as we have a bit more of an allotment. You know, I think we're good through next Friday. But again, we want to be able to do all the things, and so that we can get to, you know, 12,000-13,000 jabs a day would be optimal for the Tucson area and the region.
Well, the big picture is we're apparently ahead of schedule. The Pima County Health Department wanted to have 300,000 people vaccinated by the end of March. They're now saying that that could happen at the beginning of March.
Right. And if we get there, that'll be terrific. We won't have everybody double vaxxed, but we'll have everybody with the first jab. And, you know, even then, once we're at, say we're like at 300, 450, 450 with their first jab, and 300 of those or two-thirds of those with their second jab as well, you're really talking about looking at the metrics and seeing how many cases we have in our hospital capacity and taking a look at, okay, so now that we got all this done, I guess the next question will be, so how do we reopen exactly again? And do we keep social distancing? And you know, do we, how do we ease into this? And so I think those are the next questions on the horizon. And I'm really confident the council is going to be ready.
Yeah, this is the reentry program will be a very important part of 2021. I do want to add this, that for folks who are over 65, it looks like they will be, the county is now looking at early next week for the ages 65 to 69. And of course, it was lowered into from 75 to right now it's over 70. I'm thankful I was in that group that was able to get a shot this week at the Tucson Convention Center. And kudos to our Tucson firefighters, the paramedics, everybody that was down there from FEMA, from the city of Tucson, the county. It's really a professionally run operation. So kudos to the folks at the TCC, Paul Cunningham.
That's Andy Squire and Chris Avery and people on the team that, you know, you hear about the manager and a few of our department heads, but those are the two. And then obviously Chief Ryan and Captain Anderson from the fire department. Look, those were the unsung heroes. They got this done. They made it work. TFFA was supportive. I mean, it was just a team effort all the way around, and all of a sudden we stood up a site and we're able to add an extra 1,200 jabs, the ground running, almost 2 weeks ago. And I think it really made a difference in what the county and the city were able to do. We were able to augment each other's efforts. We were able to work in conjunction with each other's efforts. And as a result, we definitely spread the process along in Pima County. Had we gotten our POD, we'd be well ahead of everyone. Right now, we're still in the top half. And for most of the first 2 weeks, we were the second county only to Coconino. There's another county that has a rate of 24,000 jabs per 100,000 people, but it's a very low population center. So, you know, when they do 100 jabs, it really increases their numbers. And not that I'm knocking a low off population center. I'm just saying it's just a different,
all right, I want
a different game.
Paul Cunningham, I want to move off COVID for a little bit and talk about the interview I did on Friday with Christopher Magnus, the Tucson police chief. He sounded very frustrated with the manpower situation. Officer, that situation is eroding. We're losing officers. It's almost to the point where I believe it's a crisis level. We've got, I think the chief told me, at any given time, we only have for the whole city, as far as like traffic cops, less than 20. The staffing situation is now to the point where, would you say it's a crisis?
Yeah, I think it's a crisis nationally. I don't think it's very popular to become a police officer right now. I think that all kinds of departments are having staffing issues. The reason the staffing issues range everything from culture to pay, to resources. But, you know, again, every single department in the country is going through things like this, and we've just got to find, I mean, you go through the different cities around the country and even the state, there's a headline about the police department, and it's all different things. I can say this about our chief. Our chief has really ushered in a culture change with our department. We have some amazing police officers. We have one of the best trained police departments in the world, and we've worked really hard to be transparent on all critical incidents and sentinel incident reviews. So the real next question is how do we get our staffing and that our responses are proper and that our responses are correct? And when I say it that way, I mean our responses need to be conducive to what the crisis situation they are responding to. Responding to shots fired, responding to a bank robbery, responding to a murder scene have different connotations than responding to a family that's having a crisis and going through a tough time. And we've got to be able to filter the two, be able to work the two. And I think we can. And I think that there's a lot of mechanisms in place that we're doing, but it's new ground. I would tell everyone out there, please consider is that my phone or you?
It must be your phone. It's not ours. Okay.
Let me try this.
Why don't you, let's take...
What I tell everybody is that, does this help?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay, so what I tell everybody is that I ask you humbly, consider going out and observing police for a shift. Consider doing a ride-along and seeing all the social justice and social welfare work that police do, because there is a lot of that already. And a lot of people don't know that, and also see some of the things that are the dangerous situations that they put their lives on. We need to support our officers because we have a lot of really good ones, and it's not going to help our society to group all officers into one stereotype. That's not fair to them either.
Let's pause right here. I want to pick up on that conversation about law enforcement with Paul Cunningham, the Ward 2 Democrat representing Ward 2 in the Tucson City Council. But right now, Paul Cunningham, I bet you could use something from Mona's. How does that sound?
Well, it's always one of the best places to go if you want Danish pastry.
You bet. If you're home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, Mona's open right now for lunch. Check out not only the Danish Kringle, but hey, we've got St. Valentine's Day coming up over the weekend. The owner of the bakery and chief baker, Steve, has come up with some wonderful Valentine's pastries. So to give to your loved one and to celebrate Valentine's Day. And guess what? Arizona Statehood Day is also, we are the Valentine State. So we're going to be celebrating Valentine's Day on Sunday and Statehood Day. Mona'sDanishBakery.com is their website. We'll be right back with Paul Cunningham on the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
If it can't be grown, then it must be mined. Cause without minerals, you never find your phones, your cars, your solar panels, or your smart TVs with your favorite channels. Hospitals, schools, and public facilities result from mining's vast abilities. Dividends, taxes, and high-paid employment come from mining for your enjoyment. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowlands 1 and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at VeroAmorePizza.com.
And yesterday was National Pizza Day, so we celebrated at Vero Amore. We had a wonderful takeout, or as the British would say, carry away pizza last night from Vero Amore. Had the Mediterranean. Yeah, it was delicious. A little bit of chicken on there and some basil, and just lovely pizza at Vero Amore. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Green Things, ready for Valentine's Day. You know, everybody kind of does the roses thing. How about thinking outside of the green box and go over to Green Things, pick up a beautiful plant that will last a long time. At Green Things for Valentine's Day, 3384 East River Road, 13 acres of amazing plants, trees, and annuals. Their website, Green Things AZ, open daily. Of course, Zocalo Village, all that great handmade furniture and beautiful things from Latin America and Europe. That's ZocaloVillage.com. The Buckmaster Show Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go back on the live line. Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham with us on the live line. In our interview with Chief Magnus on Friday, I asked the chief directly, Paul Cunningham, are you leaving? You got your resumes out? He admitted they're down about 100 positions right now in the police department, and he said he will be staying as long as the community wants him. But he did admit, Paul, morale is not great. Those were his words.
Yeah, and it's not great around the country, and I know that the chief is doing his best to get morale better. And like I said in the previous segment, we've got to support our officers. I know it for some folks, it's not very popular these days. But for me, just on some of my personal experience, and I have to go with that, that we've got some really good officers on this department. And a lot of them really understand and get it when it comes to civil service, public service, and what it's all about. And we cannot deploy a police department with one hand behind its back. They've got to have the resources and personnel they need to keep our community safe. And the bottom line is that when you have a police department in peril, it can cause so many other problems. And so we've got to keep our eye on the ball on that. Quite frankly, you know, 3 years ago, we thought we had a pretty good plan. And had financed a pretty good plan because we knew we were going to have some attrition and personnel issues. And the goal at that time was to get us to 20 officers per, I want to say 10,000 people, I think, which is the give or take the number that, that you want to be at for a city our size. I think that the average number is 17 between 24. Between 17 and 24, and I was hoping that we'd get 20. That would include CSOs, and I think we're going to have some social workers next year who will be responding to calls. So I think we'll see that as a pilot to see kind of how we redeploy some of our resources and personnel to handle some of those calls that take a very, very long time that aren't necessarily dangerous emergencies, but require the attention of us long term because they could turn into them and be potential ones 2 weeks later if not addressed with some immediacy. So it's working on those strategies and collaborating with the stakeholders and community partners who address such crises as that to come up with a formula that'll work. And this is uncharted territory. No one has actually invented this, and certainly no one has invented this for Tucson. That's going to be up to us and our community to do it together.
But what about money for these officers? We're 13% below surrounding communities, and this is not... I just think that we've got to address the money issue, don't we, right now?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we need to do it, but we had the pay for performance in place, and it was met with some resistance, kind of consensus, some consensus resistance, and that it didn't work for our needs. So we've got to figure out how to direct our pay scale so that it is competitive, but it's also synchronous. And when I say that, what I mean is we may not have the same base pay, but we have more people getting premium pay and more extra duty pay than other departments. And the median amount going out the door is different than the median amount to start. And so we're actually a little bit closer than that 13%. But yes, like right now, a good example is that a Pima County deputy, once they matriculate through the academy, is $25.50. For us, you get to $24.47. And so we probably want to, so that's a whole dollar less. So we want to be able to boost those base pays to a competitive manner. The other thing is that we need to take a look at what our detectives are getting paid, our sergeants, and how we're doing overtime. And all that goes into calculating that. So, yes, there are some gaps in our competitiveness, but there are others where that gap, there's more to that gap than meets the eye.
Then there's a situation over at the 911 center where morale is not great, to say the least. And is it Officer Kazmir who's now taken on that task?
Yeah, Deputy Chief Kazmir has taken over 911.
Right, yeah.
And he gave a very succinct and matter-of-fact report yesterday. I think that department's in good hands. Again, through the COVID crisis, not only were we shorthanded, we had people working way too many shifts, and we weren't we were in a situation that was unmanageable. And here's the other thing. I'm of the belief that if we don't address that with some semblance of immediacy, I'm talking within the next 90 days, it may be a situation where that department won't be able to do its job. I'm very concerned about it. So we're going to have to we have to come up with solutions to the plan. We just can't throw money at it. We know we're going to have to spend money to fix it, but we want to make sure we're spending that money properly. Otherwise, you're just throwing money in a situation and that doesn't necessarily fix it. I think we will. There are three different things we're working on. Right now, an entry-level 911 person for our 911 center makes less than $15 an hour. Our pay package includes boosting the minimum pay citywide to $15 an hour, also expanding people who make just above that a little bit more, like between 2% and 4%, so there's not a compression issue. Compression meaning where all the wages are bunched together and someone whose value and qualifications are much higher are also competitive in their job. So we want to bring the minimum to 15, decompress the next lineup, and then also include a 2% increase to every city employee citywide. So we have all those things that we're trying to work into the budget, along with multiple other things like fixing roads and maintaining parks, bringing the parks all on back online, making sure city facilities demonstrate minimal COVID risk long term, even with the vaccine in place. So we go through this budget process every year. This is, I think, my 10th or 11th cycle with this budget. And the most incredible thing about this budget is this is by far one of the better financial positions we've been in. The other thing we're going to talk about is how to is the zoo expansion and whether or not we proceed with it as planned, or if it requires some tweaking.
Let me ask you, though, going back to 911, that has to be pushed, right? Am I hearing you saying 90 days?
Yeah,
that's got
to
go.
We're going to have to take action decisively and with them as quickly as possible. I think whatever we want to do with 911, we want to do by the fourth quarter of this fiscal year. So come April 1st, I'd like to see that in place. I think that the manager knows that. I think that everybody understands the crisis that department is in and what immediacy is needed to rectify the ails of it.
So in other words, it's being pushed to the top of the agenda. Is that what I'm hearing, Paul?
It has to be. Yeah, it has. Well, I don't know about, I can't speak for all my colleagues, but I can assume that all of us are deeply aware of the situation.
Okay.
The report yesterday was very, very clear. And so if we don't get, you know, if we don't bring some more people on and we can't even get recruits to sign up, then you've got a problem. If you've got job openings in the middle of a pandemic, in the middle of a pandemic caused recession where people want to work and you can't get anybody to even sign up, you've got a problem.
Yep.
So obviously that needs to be fixed.
All right, Paul, got to run. We'll talk to you next month. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Paul Cunningham, the Democrat who represents Ward 2 on the Tucson City Council. It's the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, Midway Point in the Buckmaster Show, and our midweek edition. We'll be right back.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, midweek edition in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. The following segment is presented by Reed Park Zoo. Reed Park Zoo, founded in 1965 by the then City of Tucson Parks Director Gene Reed as an exhibit of exotic birds. The zoo is now considered one of America's top zoos, especially for a medium-sized city like Tucson, Arizona. Over 500 animals from all over the world call the zoo home, and the zoo has been welcoming some 500,000 visitors annually. City of Tucson voters in 2017 approved a small jump in the city's sales tax to improve the zoo. Joining us on the live line, the Reed Park Zoo president and CEO, Nancy Kluge. Nancy, how are you?
Hi, Bill. I'm doing terrific. I got to spend a couple hours out in the zoo this morning. We did final inspections on our new Flamingo Lagoon habitat. What a beautiful day to visit with guests.
You know, the zoo had to shutter between March and August, about 5 months. Of course, the animals still had to be taken care of, and the zoo employees had to really pitch in to make sure all of the residents were comfortable. Luckily, they did a very professional job, so the zoo was able to reopen in August. How has that been going, Nancy? And what's the situation over there, the protocol now for visiting the zoo?
So the zoo is limiting attendance, and we require reservations. I think that's something really important for people to know, that if you want to go to the zoo, you can't just jump in your car. You need to go online or call us and make a reservation. We're limiting to about 30% of our capacity, so it's a really nice, safe, spacious experience for our guests. Like I mentioned, I was out in the zoo this morning, and I talked to a gentleman who was there with his young son, and they were saying how good it felt just to have a safe place they felt comfortable coming out to and enjoy learning and just feeling the nature all around them with the plants and animals around them.
How are you making the zoo more accessible to people during these very hard times? So many people are struggling right now, Nancy. What is the zoo doing to make our facility more accessible?
Those are really important programs for us. We offer $4 off for EBT card holders. Those are those that formerly called food stamps. And that makes it as low as $2.50 for a child to come in. It is free for school children's visiting. We just signed up for the library's cultural pass program, where people can check out a free pass to the zoo just like a library book with their library card. And then we have special discount admission days that we have. I love our social service membership. So we have our Tucson's great organizations like Casa de los Niños and Easter Seals Blake Foundation are able to bring their clients in, up to 7 clients and 2 staff every day if they want for the whole year.
And my wife and I are members of the zoo, and I urge everybody to support the Reed Park Zoo. The membership prices are reasonable, aren't they, Nancy?
They are as low as $27 a year for a senior to purchase a membership and come to for the whole year. And for a family with 4 children and 2 adults, $80 for the year.
You mentioned what's going on with the flamingo exhibit. I love flamingos. Seen them in the Caribbean, and I just love them. Tell me a little bit about this new exhibit. Where did these animals come from?
So these are our current flamingo flock that has been over in the back near the learning center, and they're going to be traveling not too far up to the front of the zoo. So that exhibit, like I mentioned, we're doing the final inspection today, and we hope to have birds out for folks to see in 2 weeks. So it's exciting to have them move. They are amazing animals, and they're going to be so colorful out in front of the zoo. Bill, they each have their own personalities.
Oh, yeah.
There is one that is like a mother to everyone and looks out for them. There's, you know, you got to have the drama person in the flock, just like we do in our personal lives. So there's, you know, someone who likes to cause drama, couples that get along really well. So it is, they are fascinating animals, and I look forward to having all the kids getting a chance to learn about them, learn about their behaviors. It's such a lush, beautiful exhibit. And what's really important is it's got a night house in them that they didn't have before for chilly nights where they can go in to have heaters. And it's got about 50% more land space for them than in their old exhibit. So great place for nesting areas and baby chicks in our future, we hope.
I love the way they stand, many of them on the 1 foot while they're resting.
It is. And they're perfectly comfortable like that.
Yeah, they really are. Nancy, let's talk about the master plan. The voters said they want the zoo to move forward with a world-class facility in 2017. What phase are we in this 10-year master plan?
So we're in phase one, and that includes the front entry and flamingo habitat that are about to open. And with the completion of those, we'll be moving on in the next few weeks to World of Play, which will be located where the flamingos are now. Great playground for children to be able to learn about continents. Through even there's an Antarctic ice cave where kids can get a little cooler in the summer, big slides, cargo nets, just amazing features, as well as pathway to Asia. So that is going to expand the footprint of the zoo to the west. I know there has been quite a bit of publicity. It's been planned for several years now, and it'll expand to the west where the south pond, the smaller pond, and the hill are, keeping intact the north pond, keeping intact the waterfall, and we're even improving that pond with a new pump system for cleaner water and healthy space. But the animals in this new exhibit are what people are really excited about. There will be red pandas, which were a crowd favorite when they were here a couple of years ago. Fishing cats are adorable. A reptile house with a Komodo dragon. An exotic bird experience where people will get a chance to feed birds. And tigers will be the star of the show in this new new habitat.
Nancy, address, if you would, the zoo has gone through public hearing process through all of this. You've gone through all the hoops, haven't you? And I think there's been some controversy that folks weren't informed of what was going on. Haven't you met all the requirements that were required?
Yes. So in 2018, we brought the revised master plan to Mayor and Council. 2014 master plan for Reed Park Zoo showed an expansion to this area of the park, but did not go into detail until the funding was realized with the passage of the sales tax. At that time, we did outreach, brought it to Mayor and Council. We did additional outreach, brought it to Mayor and Council again, and they approved this terrific plan with the knowledge that outreach had taken place. And we didn't stop there. We continued to do outreach as the plan was developed so that we could hear what people wanted. And that really helped guide us. That was actually how red pandas came to be part of a plan, is every meeting we went to, people said, aren't we red pandas? So we figured out a way to do that and have just the perfect habitat for them. We had moms tell us we want a nursing room, so we've got a great nursing room where nursing moms can feel private and comfortable. Moms told us we want stroller parking by the playground, so we added that in. So it was really, really helpful. And this is just a small sliver of Reed Park. It's about 3.5 acres of Reed Park's 157 acres.
And I wanted to talk briefly here before we wrap it up about that exhibit, the Pathway to Asia exhibit, and the tigers. Where are you getting these tigers?
They come from other zoos. So we started, we've already started working with other zoos. You don't get this many animals all at once quickly. So this has been a process. We started talking to zoos after this was approved in 2018. So zoos won't breed animals just to have cute animals. That's not responsible. So it's when zoos know there are homes for these animals. So we indicated to other zoos that we would have space for tigers. Malayan tigers are so highly endangered. Only 300 left in the world total.
Wow.
So those are the specific species of tigers that we will be housing here that other zoos are preparing to send to us. We will at the same time be supporting conservation of these tigers in the wild.
All right, Nancy Kluge, we will catch up with you soon to talk about, I'm always fascinated with the whole process of the animal acquisition. It's a huge deal, and we'll get into that in the coming months. I do want to direct everyone to your website, reedparkzoo.org. Nancy, that the video of the animals when we had snow mixed with rain with the elephants, that video went all over the world. That went viral.
Good morning, America, and everywhere.
That must have had probably millions by now of hits because it was amazing. It was a real pick-me-up for people to see that all over the world. Nancy, thank you very much.
Have a wonderful rest of your day.
Thanks a lot. Nancy Kluge with the Reed Park Zoo. She is the CEO over there. And we're going to continue with the Buck President and CEO of the Reed Park Zoo. We'll continue with the Buckmaster Show. And Amber Mathewson will give us an update on what's going on with the Pima Public Libraries during the COVID situation.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience, prioritizing social distancing and safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures that your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, midweek edition in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Guests appear on our live line, courtesy of Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. I want to say a big shout out to our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. They've been a great sponsor and continue to be so, and they are urging all of Tucsonans, please start your planning now for when New Mexico once again opens up. We hope that will be very soon. Visit southwestnewmexico.org. There you'll find information about great places to stay and so many recreation opportunities. And when the COVID restrictions are lifted, hopefully that'll be soon, it'd be a great time to go over there and do some hiking in the Gila National Wilderness just in time for spring, hopefully. All right, let's turn now on the live line to Amber Mathewson. Amber is the director of the Pima County Public Libraries. Amber, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on today.
Well, you're welcome. It's our pleasure. I have so many people asking me, what's the deal with this, with the libraries? Are they open? What's going on? Fill us in.
Sure. So throughout the entire COVID period, we've had to adjust our service model. So currently, at the actual library locations, we have limited services at 22 of our 26 locations. People can come and pick up their reserved materials, whether they be books or DVDs, the physical materials, either at the door or curbside. We can take them out to their cars. And we also provide valet service for printing, faxing, and copying. Unfortunately, we don't have computers available to people at this time because we're not allowing folks in the building. However, all of our libraries do have Wi-Fi service that extends out into our parking lot areas, so individuals sometimes sit on benches outside the libraries or even in their cars to use their personal devices. We've also been providing grab-and-go snacks for kids, as well as other food distribution through cooperation with the food bank, and we've created grab-and-go activities for kids. So those are the limited things that you can do in our buildings. However, we have a lot to offer online programming. So we shifted our Ready, Set, School program, which is a kindergarten readiness program, to online, and that's an 8-week program, and then it just repeats for another 8 weeks where youngsters can get ready for kindergarten, of course. And then we also put a whole new site, part of our website dedicated to learn at home resources for parents and kids because they're doing all of their schoolwork from home. And that includes our online tutoring, which is through a company called BrainFuse, from 2 p.m. to 11 p.m. daily. Students of all ages, even high school and college students, can use that service for online tutoring.
How many libraries do we have, Amber?
We have 26, but our newest one out in the Vail area, which will be opening later this month, brings us up to 27.
So are they all open or are some temporarily closed?
We have four of our smaller libraries that are temporarily closed, and that is just due to either restrooms in the neighborhood centers that they're in not being open, and some various incidents like that. But 22 of them are currently open, and then the Vail one will be opening very soon as well.
What are your, and I know you're up to date with what's going on in the library business across the country, what are your colleagues telling you? Is everybody trying a different kind of game plan, or is there some kind of uniform approach, Amber, during these COVID times that librarians are trying to struggle through and make them as accessible as possible?
Yeah, I go on a call about once a week with libraries across the nation in the Urban Libraries Council, and the directors have just done all kinds of different things, but most of them very similar to ours, providing curbside service and then doing as much programming online as they are able. Of course, each state is in a little bit different situation depending where they are for COVID numbers, so some of them have to done some inside service, and we were providing computer service when our numbers were lower. As soon as Pima County gets to 1,000 cases per week or less, we'll be hopefully be able to bring people back into the buildings then. But yeah, much has gone to online service, and that's for, we've shifted just like as libraries across the country, our GED, job help, interview preparation, all those kinds of things have gone online as well, and that's pretty much what everyone's doing. We actually got a grant for hotspots as well, which we've been working with some of the school districts to provide hotspots for students who wouldn't otherwise have had connectivity for their online schooling.
Libraries are community functions, and so this has been very tough, Amber Mathewson, the whole COVID thing. People want to interact with people. I know I do. I miss it. I think as we get vaccine into people's arms, the picture is looking so much brighter. The case numbers have been going down. Hopefully, in a matter of months, we can get people back into the library. At least that's my hope. I'm keeping my fingers crossed.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, we are so looking forward to that. You know, the libraries and library staff are used to being the place where people can go for help and to have sort of a home away from home, a third place to go to. And it's been so difficult for us to not be able to be there in the way that we had intended. And so we're anxious to invite everyone back. And glad that we are able to interact with the folks when they come to pick up their books now.
What about sending people to your website? Do you have some a lot of information there on the website?
Absolutely. Our website is library.pima.gov, and we have a whole section of e-resources, which includes music, books, audio books, and magazines that you can get online. You can actually apply for an e-card so that you can use those resources, as well as get a standard library card sent to you. And also, any programs that we're doing online can be found on our library website as well. So, our GED and job help, resume writing, all that can be found online. I also wanted to mention that we have had for a while now our Career Online High School, which is an 18-month program that individuals who are 22 years of age or older can earn their high school diploma. And to date, we've had 72 graduates, and we have 84 more students enrolled, so that's an exciting bit as well. And when people go online, if they need help figuring out what to read, we also have personalized reading recommendations.
Very cool. All right, Amber, I'm going to have to run. Amber Mathewson, Director of the Pima County Library System. Thank you, Amber.
You're welcome. Thanks so much for inviting me. Have a great afternoon.
You too. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show Midweek Edition on behalf of my engineer, producer, and generally all around nice guy, Tom Fairbanks. My name's Bill Buckmaster. I've enjoyed being with you the past hour. We'll do it again in 23 hours or so. Have a great afternoon.